Well, turning your Bibles to Romans 14, we're continuing, of course, our study of Paul's letter to the church at Rome. And we know the letter was written about 57 A.D. It's the foundational letter of the New Testament. This letter gives us truths and principles for us to know and apply so we can be grounded in God's Word and that we can grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior. We've come to a special section of the book, chapters 12 through 16. You remember the first 11 chapters basically were doctrine and teaching. Then we got into chapter 12 through 16. He's dealing with application, living out who we are. Chapters 14 and 15 go together. We're seeing believers' relationships to each other. How do we live? We're seeing such issues and things as freedom and choices and weaker and stronger brother and convictions and judging one another and all of those things. As we look at our passage this morning, we want to think about several things. First of all, the whole issue of judging one another, believers often judge each other and do things. As we think of this passage, we're going to realize that the judge, in truth, is not us. It's our God and Savior Jesus Christ. There's a second thing we're going to look at as we think through the passage, and that is the Lordship of Christ. What does that mean? What does it mean that He is the Lord of both the dead and the living? What does it mean that we're going to give an account of ourselves to God? What does all that mean? How does it all fit? This morning, we're going to look at that, and may we gain from this passage, and may we realize that our God and Savior is indeed the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we'll look at all this as we go through it. You know, there's a famous song by Frank Sinatra called I Did It My Way. And this is how many people look at life. They say, it's my life, and I'm going to do what I want. I'll live my life the way I want to. Well, here's the question I want you to think about. Are we here to do what we want, or are we here to do what God wants? I mean, the truth is, believers, we actually belong to Jesus Christ. Now, think about it. We've been bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, what, do you not know your body's temple of the Holy Spirit? You've been bought with a price. You're not your own. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies. We are servants of Jesus Christ. There's some passages that call us bond slaves. We're servants. You realize that we are accountable to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says, we'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to be judged for the things that we've done in this body. So we are accountable to God. Look at chapter 14, Romans. Look at verses 7 and 8. Look what it says. For not one of us lives for himself, and not one dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord, or if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. We belong to our Savior. As we study our passage this morning, we realize that not only do we belong to Jesus Christ, but we are accountable to Him as well. May our lives be changed. As we study this passage, as we see these truths, I pray our lives are going to be changed. Let's begin. What we need to do is get a brief review. You know, chapters 14 and 15 go together. We see how we are to live and how to relate to other believers. And the issue that we began seeing last week at the beginning of chapter 14 will not only go through this morning, but the next couple of lessons as well as we go through Romans 14 and 15. It's this whole idea that we see issues of judging one another and those kind of things. So often believers do judge one another. We all have different choices and preferences and convictions and all of that, and sometimes we think that others ought to have the same convictions that we do, and if they don't, we look down on them or we judge them. How do we relate to other believers, especially if we have different views on what we can and cannot do? As we begin this morning, there are three things I want you to look at. I've got kind of a little outline here. We're going to review, first of all, some key aspects from Romans 14, 1 through 5. And the reason we need to do that, you have to get the foundation. The foundation of chapters 14 and 15 is found in the first five verses, how it fits. And so we're going to look at that. And then we're going to understand the Lordship of Christ in our lives. That's 14, verses 6 through 9. We'll see how that fits. And then the last thing we'll do is understand our accountability to Christ. And that's Romans 14, 10, 11, and 12. So that's the big three things we'll look at this morning. Let's begin by getting that brief review of Romans 14, 1 through 5. If you weren't here last week, you really need to see this. You have to understand this foundation in order to see how the rest of the thing fits together. This is the key for understanding our relationships to each other. Now, here's basically a summary. Here's what we saw. As believers, we have great freedom in the Christian life. There are biblical rights and wrongs. There are things that we're to obey and to live by. We're to live by the Word of God. But in areas that are not mentioned in the Scripture, we have great freedom to choose to have convictions and preferences and choices, all of that. And we need to understand two things. There were two big issues or two big laws that we talked about last week. Sometimes some people call it the law of liberty and sometimes call also the law of love. Now, the word law means principle. So there's a principle of liberty and a principle of love. Let me give it to you. The law of liberty says this. that you are free as a believer to live and choose and to have preferences and choices ever how you want, as long as you do not violate the Word of God. The rights and wrongs in the Scripture, we're not talking about that, because there are things that are right and wrong that the Bible says, and the things that it says do, you do, and the things it says don't do, you don't do. But in areas in which the Bible does not cover, which is many things, you have great freedom to do what you want to do. There's a second law, which is called the law of love. And this is how we relate to others. In fact, the Bible says you love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and love your neighbor as yourself. Our relationship with others is based on love. And that means our freedom is also based on love. And let me explain something to you. There may be, because even though we have freedom, maybe because of our love for one another, we may give up some freedom because of our love. There may be some things that we have the freedom to do, but because we know that it might hurt another believer or bother another believer, we would give up our own freedom because of our love for that person. So as we go through the passage, and we're going to see it a little bit later on in Romans 14, the great truth of liberty and love and how it fits together. He said in this passage there are two types of believers. In Romans 14:1, he says, now accept the one who is weak in faith. And then over in chapter 15, he says, now we who are strong ought to bear the weakness of those who are without strength. He said there are two kinds of believers in the passage. This is how he describes them. He describes them as a strong believer and as a weak believer. What does he mean by that? Well, here's what we discover. The strong believer is the believer that understands the freedom that we have in our Christian life. And we are to live our lives based on freedom and love. So the strong believer is the one that says, well, I have freedom to do this. I understand that. And I'm going to live my freedom based on love. The weak believer, or sometimes called the weaker believer, does not necessarily understand the freedoms that they have. Based on their convictions or choices, there are certain things they cannot do with a clear conscience. We're not talking about rights and wrongs from the Scripture. We're talking about preferences. And some people would say, listen, I just don't feel comfortable doing that. I'm not going to do that. They have the freedom to do that. But there, in this passage, he's called the weaker brother. So there's those who say, look, I know I have great freedom and I can do this and do that, but I'm going to, of course, live my life based on love. The other person says, I can't do that. I just don't feel comfortable doing that. I don't have the confidence that I could do that. I can't do it with a clear conscience. Both are based on freedom and love. In the book of Romans, there were two issues that they were dealing with in this. And with that, when he wrote to the church at Rome, two big issues. One, and I'll give you the little one first. One of them was that one said, all the days are the same. You should just treat every day the same, live for the glory of God. Some said, no, certain days ought to be set apart. So some in freedom said, I can treat any day the way I want to. Some said, you got to set apart a certain day. There was another issue. The issue was eating certain meats. Now, I told you this last week, and I'm going to say it very quickly, that in Rome, there was a marketplace. There was also a place of false gods that they gave sacrifices to false gods. Some person would kill an animal, take it to a false god, put the meat up there. When they were through making the offer, they took the meat and sold it in the marketplace. The stronger believer would say, hey, I'm going to get that. That's good meat, and it's a good price, too. I'm going to get some of the best meat. And he'd say, I can eat it. I got the freedom to eat it. There's no such thing as a false god, so I can eat it. Other believers said, wait a minute. You shouldn't eat anything offered to a false god. In fact, I'm not even going to eat that meat. I'm not going to take a chance. I'm not going to eat any meat. And so in Rome, one of the issues was, should you eat the meat? The people with the freedom said, hey, I got the freedom to eat the meat. The people who didn't have that freedom, who weren't convicted of that, they'd say, I just don't think I'm not going to eat any meat. There was the issues, the strong and the weak. Now, let me say this. It's okay for either one, because remember, in verse 5 of Romans 14, it says, each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. That means as a believer, you have the freedom to say, listen, the Bible gives me rights and wrongs, and anything not covered in the Bible, I have the freedom to say yes or no. And that's your conviction, choice, and preference. Others say, listen, I just don't think I'm going to do that. You have the freedom. That's what he's talking about. Now, where does the problem come in? The problem comes in when the strong believer who says, I got all the freedom, looks down on the one who says, I can't do it, and says something like this. You got the freedom. Why don't you grow up and realize you can do anything you want? Vice versa, it turns around when the weak believer looks at the strong believer and says, I don't think you should do that. One looks down on the other. The other judges. Look at Romans 14, verse 3. The one who eats, that's the one who has the freedom, the one who is the strong brother. The one who eats is not to regard with contempt the one who does not eat. You don't look down on the one who doesn't do the same thing you do. And the one who does not eat is not to judge the one who eats, for God has accepted him. They're not to judge. And so we see the problem and the issue. People, the strong believer, as he calls it, who understood the freedom, sometimes were looking down on those who didn't understand the freedom. And then the ones who said, no, I can't do that, were judging the ones that did. In our lives, we all know, we listed a whole bunch of things last week that throughout history people have said, well, this is right and this is wrong and you can't do this and you shouldn't do this and you should and all of those kind of things. What we ended with last week was this, and we put the summary together, and here's what it was. Believers are to obey the Word of God and live by the Scripture, all the rights and wrongs found in the Word of God. In areas not covered in the Scripture, you have the freedom to make choices, preferences, convictions. The strong believer who understands freedom is not to look down on the one who doesn't, and the weak believer is not to judge the one who does. And the bottom line is in verse 5 where he says, each one needs to be fully convicted, fully convinced in their own mind. Now from there, it takes us to our passage this morning. And the bottom line, as he's saying, is don't judge each other. In fact, look at verse 4 of Romans 14. Who are you to judge the servant of another? This takes us to our passage, and here's how we're going to break it down. We got two things to think about. Number one, in verses, we're going to look at 6 through 12, but in verses 6, 7, 8, and 9, we see we belong to Christ. He's the Lord. And then the second thing we see, we will stand before Christ. He's the judge. So why is it that we don't judge one another? Because number one, we belong to Christ. He's the Lord. And number two, we're going to stand before Him. He's the judge, not us. And we'll talk about it. Okay, let's look at this. We're going to see, first of all, the aspect of the Lordship of Christ. We're going to start with verse 6 and go through about verse 9, where he deals with that. But as we begin with this, you need to understand, what does he mean by Lordship? And what does it mean to say Christ is Lord and the Lordship of Christ? The Greek word kyrios for Lord literally means deity. If you say Jesus is Lord, you're saying He is God. To say that He is the Creator, the Redeemer, the Sustainer, the Provider, the Protector, He is the Sovereign One of all, He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. As Rachel sang in that song, you are sovereign, you are God, you are righteous, you are holy. To say that Jesus Christ is Lord is to recognize or to say that He is God. Let me say something. You do not make Jesus Christ Lord. I have people say, you need to make Jesus Lord of your life. You don't make Jesus Christ Lord. He already is Lord of everything. He is the Sovereign Ruler of everything. He works everything according to the counsel of His will. He is God, and He rules all things and works all things. So the fact truth is, we come under Christ. We don't live for ourselves. We live for Jesus Christ. He's the sovereign God and the ruler. Look what he says in verse 6. He says, he who observes the day observes it for the Lord, and he who eats does so for the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who eats not, for the Lord, he does not eat, and gives thanks to God. Now, here's his point. He's saying it doesn't matter whether you say, I'm going to observe certain day, or I'm not going to observe certain day, or I'm going to eat certain food, or I'm not going to eat certain food. It doesn't matter. Just realize that whichever way you go, you're still in the Lordship of Christ. You belong to Him. You give thanks to God in all of this. He is the provider, the redeemer, the protector in all of this. The choices that I make come under the authority of God. These issues that we're talking about are not rights and wrongs from the Bible. They are choices, preferences, and convictions that you might have. And so he says, the person who says, I think you ought to set apart a certain day, well, you can set it apart and give thanks to God. For the person who says, I think you could eat whatever you want to eat, that person does that for God. The person who says, I don't think you ought to eat it, then you do that for God and gives thanks to God. So his first idea there is regardless of our choices, regardless of our convictions in these things, we come under God, we do it for the Lord. He created us, He bought us, He saved us, He set us apart. It's all by God and all for Him. Everything we do should be done for the glory of God. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. And he goes on to explain. For not one of us, verse 7, not one of us lives for himself, not one of us dies for himself. See, we're not here to live for ourselves or to die for ourselves. We belong to Him. He's the one that gifted us. He's the one that works all things according to the counsel of His will. We need to recognize that we didn't wake up this morning going, my life is for me. I'm going to do what I want. That's not true. That's not true. You belong to Jesus Christ. Notice verse 8. For if we live, we live for the Lord. For if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we're the Lord's. We belong to the Lord. If we live, we live for the Lord. Whatever, how we live for the glory of God. If we die, we die for the glory of God. Whether we live or die, it's all for the glory of God. Our life is not our own, but it belongs to Jesus Christ. And I want you to think about our lives for a second. We don't wake up, or we should not wake up each day saying, what do I want to do today? What do I want to do with my life? What do I want to do? What we should do when we wake up in the morning is saying, Lord, what do you have for me today? How can I live for you? I want my life to count for you. I want to bring glory and honor to you in everything that I do. See, you're not on this earth. We're not on this earth for us. I mean, it's hard because we think that way. We're fallen people, and we get up and we say, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? The truth is, how can our lives count for Jesus Christ day after day after day? We should wake up in the morning and say, Lord, my life is for you. First of all, thank you for letting me live another day. Thank you for this day, and use me for your glory. And wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, I want to be your representative. When you woke up this morning, Sunday mornings, did you say, Lord, thanks for another day? Because he didn't have to let you live. He didn't have to let you live. You don't know when you're going to die. He's sovereign God. He's in control of all things. Did you say, Lord, thanks for letting me live and use me today? I give this day. I want my life to count for you. Think about it. The key in all of this is Jesus Christ who died and rose again. Look at verse 9. He says, for to this end, the fact that he is the Lord of all, Christ died and lived again. Why? That he might be the Lord both of the dead and of the living. He said, this is the end of it all, that here is that Christ died and rose again. That he died and lived again. Why? That he'd be the Lord. He'd be the God of the dead and the living. See, he gives the gospel there. This is the end. Jesus, the gospel is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We know the truth that Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven and became a human being so he could die on the cross and pay for the sins of the world. He took our sins upon himself. He paid the penalty. He died and was buried and rose again on the third day. That's the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, Paul says, I make known to you the gospel. In verse 3 and 4 of 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, for I delivered to you of first importance, which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that he was buried, and he rose again on the third day. There's the death and resurrection. That's where he died and lives again, as it says here. He says, for this end Christ died and lived again. He died and rose again. That's the plan. Why? So that he would be Lord, Master, God, ruler, sovereign, both of the dead and of the living. For those who died and those who are still alive, he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is God over all those who are living, all those who have died. We belong to him. Whether you're alive or you're dead, you belong to him. He died and rose again as the ruler of the world. So the very first thing I want you to think about is that we belong to Jesus Christ. Now, because of that, now I want you to think about this. Because of that, we will stand before Christ. We are accountable to him. We are not accountable to each other. Now, I've got to explain something here to make sure you understand what I'm saying. When we talk about in this passage, in verse 4, he says, who are you to judge another servant? And we go a little further down in verse 10, it says, why are you judging your brother? Or why do you... When he's talking about judging believers, he's not talking about rights or wrongs from the Bible. When we look into the Word of God and there are things that are right and wrong, and if there's a fellow believer who we love and they're doing something that is wrong, it is okay for you to say, you know, the Bible says for you not to do that. That person can't look at you and says, the Bible says for you not to judge me. That's not what it's talking about at all here. Because the Word of God is the judge when people violate the Scripture. He's talking about not judging each other in these areas in which the Bible doesn't speak. He's talking about not judging each other in our preferences, our choices, and our convictions. In this passage is, are you going to eat the meat or not eat the meat? Don't judge one another on that. Are you going to observe the day or not observe the day? Don't on all kind of things that we have in our lives. And so when I say that you're not accountable to each other, we're talking about these preferences, choices, and the freedom that we have. We're not talking about rights and wrongs from the Bible. So notice what he says. He says, "For this, to this end, Christ died and rose again, that he might be the Lord both of the dead and the living." And because he is that, we are going to stand before our Savior. As believers, we're not to judge one another or look down on one another. Why? Because we're not going to stand before each other. We're going to stand before Jesus Christ. And notice what he says. "But you," verse 10, "why do you judge your brother? Are you again? Why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God." Now, in this passage, he's dealing with both the weaker and the stronger brother. Do you remember that the weak brother always judged and the strong brother always showed contempt? Remember verse 3, it says, "The one who eats," that's the strong brother, "is not to regard with contempt the one who doesn't." Strong brother's not to show contempt for the weak. And then it says, "And the one who does not eat is not to judge the one who eats." Notice he deals with both of them in verse 10. Verse 10, notice, "But you, why do you judge your brother?" He's talking about the weaker brother who judges the stronger brother. And then, "Are you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt?" That's the stronger brother looking down on the weaker brother. See, the truth is, you don't judge each other in these areas. Because people have freedom. And they have the right to say, "In my conviction, my freedom, my choices, my preferences, this is how I choose to live." And the one who understands freedom doesn't look down on that one and say, "Oh, grow up." And the one who sees these and has their own preferences and convictions is not to look over there and say, "Because I do it, you ought to do it," or "Not do it, you ought to not do it." You have freedom. In these areas, we're not to judge. Who is? Look what he says. "We will all stand before the judgment seat of God." Every believer, both the weak and the strong, every believer based on choices, preference, all that, we're going to all stand before the judgment seat of God. Now, sometimes in the Bible, this is also called the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:10 calls it that. We're going to see that in just a second. When you see judgment, the word judgment, most of the time we look at it and we go, I don't want to be judged by God. I mean, it scares us, sort of. But I want you to understand something. This word judgment is the Greek word bema, B-E-M-A, which literally means the rewarding stand. He says, "For we will all stand before the rewarding stand of God." It's called the bema seat. Sometimes it's called the judgment seat of Christ, which is the bema seat. In those days and time, if you were the king of your city or your country and your people went off to war, when they came back from victory, you would be sitting on the bema seat. And as your army came by, you would reward them. That was called the judgment seat of the king. Or if there was Olympic Games and things and you were the king and your people came back who had won trophies or won award, you rewarded them. This passage says, you, each one of us, we will all stand before the rewarding stand of God. Every one of us. Now, I want you to see something. Hold your place in Romans 14 and turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Just a few pages toward the back of your Bible. Turn over there quickly, and I want you to see this. We're only going to look at one verse as we see this whole thing. Second Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 10, dealing with the same issue, look what he says. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for the deeds in this body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Let me explain the verse to you. It says, "For we must all," each one of us must appear, stand before the bema, the rewarding seat of Christ. Why? "So that each one of us may be," and the word recompensed literally means rewarded. It means to be given back how you lived and how you served and what you did for Jesus Christ. You will be rewarded. This passage and standing before Jesus Christ has nothing to do with sin. Your sin has already been placed on Jesus Christ. You will never stand before God based on your sin. Your sin has been placed on Jesus Christ. He's already paid the penalty of sin. He's died on the cross, paid the penalty, and rose again. When you stand before Jesus Christ, it has nothing to do with your sin. Your salvation is based on faith in Christ. When you stand before Jesus Christ, it's going to be based on your rewards, how you've served and how you've lived for Him. And that's why He says, "We will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may be rewarded, recompensed for the deeds they've done in this body, according to what they've done, whether they good or bad." The word bad there literally means worthless. If you do things in the power of the Holy Spirit, you'll be rewarded. If you do things in the power of the flesh, there will be no rewards. It's worthless. That's what He's talking about. We're not to judge one another. Why? Because we're not the judge. Jesus Christ was the judge. You will stand before Him. Go back to Romans 14, and I want to finish this very quickly. Romans 14, verse 11, at the end of verse 10 says, we'll all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, and he's going to quote Isaiah 45, verse 23, as I live, says the Lord, watch, every knee shall bow to me. Every tongue shall give praise to God. As the eternal God, everyone's going to fall before him. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that he is the Savior, that he is the sovereign ruler of the world. Philippians 2 says, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord, that he is the God, the sovereign ruler of all things. Every human being is going to fall before him. In the context of this passage and the flow of this passage, he's dealing with believers. Every one of us will fall on our knees before our Savior. And you know what we're going to say? We're going to say, thank you for everything. Thank you for taking care of me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for being this. And you know what he's going to say? Lord willing. And thank you for serving me. Well done. That's what we want to hear. Look at the conclusion, verse 12. So then, each one of us will give an account of himself to God. Every one of us in this room who know Jesus Christ as Savior, one day will stand before the judgment seat of God, or the judgment seat of Christ, ever how you want to say it. It is the rewarding stand, and you will give an account of how you lived, how you used your gifts, talents, and abilities, how we were ready to related to fellow believers. We will stand before our Savior, not dealing with sin, but dealing with service and rewards. And as I said a while ago, you want to hear him say, well done. What will it be like when you stand before Jesus Christ? As you fall to your knees, because every knee will bow and every tongue will say that you are indeed the Lord, the Savior, the Creator, the Redeemer, the Provider, the Protector. You are everything. What will it be like? What will he say to you? Will he say, well done, good and faithful servant? That's what we want. See, in this passage we say, listen, you have great freedom. You can do what you want, live how you want. Don't judge one another. Don't let the one who has certain convictions judge this other one. And don't let those who have the freedom look at that with contempt and, you know, overlook them and all of that. He says, listen, we're not in that for this. We're to love one another in the freedom that we have. And remember, we belong to Christ. He's the Savior. He died and rose again. He gives us eternal life. He's the sovereign ruler of all things. And one day, we're going to stand before him. So what have we seen? Believers have great freedom, choices, convictions, preferences. We're to live in freedom and love. Believers are not to judge or look down on each other. Because Jesus Christ is the Master. He died and rose again. He's the Lord of all. And one day we will stand before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. Let me give you some applications. The first one is this. Let's realize that we belong to Jesus Christ. There's no doubt about it. As you look at this passage, he's the Lord of all. In fact, A says, he is the Lord of all. He is the sovereign ruler of all things. He died and rose again. He is the Creator, the Redeemer, the Sustainer, the Provider, the Protector. He is the sovereign ruler. Everything comes under him. He's the Lord of all. B, Christ is our Master and Lord. He has bought us. He died and rose again for us. He bought us, saved us, and uses us. We belong to him. See, let's serve Christ daily. When you wake up in the morning, recognize the fact that you belong to him. And instead of getting up and saying, I wonder what I'm going to do today, wake up in the morning and say, thank you for letting me live. And Lord, I give you my life today. Whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, may I live for you. The second application, God is our judge, not each other. We don't judge one another. A, we all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:10, Romans 14:11, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. They all deal with the fact that we're going to give an account of ourselves to God. Not to other people in these issues, but to God. How we lived, how we served, what we did. This is a time of rewards. We want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. B, let's not judge or look down on each other. The weak brother judges the strong brother looks down on the weak. Let's not do that. We're not the judge in these areas. God is the judge, and we'll stand before him. We want to live in freedom and in love. Now, as we get a little further into Romans 14, probably next week or the week after that, we're going to see that issue that I brought up earlier, is that you do have great freedom to live any way you want to. But remember, because of your love for others, there may be times you give up your freedom because you love somebody else. We'll see that as we go through the passage. May we live for our Savior, Jesus Christ, who is Lord. May we serve him daily in all things, not judging others. because we know one day we will stand before our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great, great time. Thank you, Lord. May we realize who you are, that we belong to our Savior, Jesus Christ, that you're the Lord and the Savior of all, and the Creator and Redeemer and Provider and Protector and the Master and the Lord. And may we serve you, Lord. May we serve you daily. Lord, we realize that you're the judge, that we're going to all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to be rewarded. And I pray, Lord, that we will be rewarded. And Lord, I pray as we go through life, we understand the freedom and we live in freedom and love, and that those who understand freedom will not look down on the others, and those who maybe don't understand certain freedoms or have certain convictions will not judge others, but we'll live in love and freedom with one another. Lord, thank you for these things. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.